our Bibles out, we're going to go to the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 24. And man, we're living in great times. Amen. And I just encourage you, get ready for what God is doing in the earth right now. You know, the Bible talks about the fact that he's coming for a glorious church. Amen. And a church without spot and without wrinkle. And I want to read this in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 25. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, it says, so let the wives be unto their own husbands and everything. And husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. I want to read verse 27 again. It says that he might present it to himself, speaking of the church, speaking of you. How many know you are the church? Amen. It's not a building. It's each of us individually. It says that he might present unto himself a glorious church, a glorious in church. You know, I was wanted to look up that word glorious. And, you know, when I began to study this word out, the word glorious, it's actually what would you call a compound word in the original text. In other words, two words combined together. And the first part of the word, it actually is defining being fixed in position, like in a specific place or a specific time or a specific state. In other words, being fixed in position. And then the second part of the word, it's a word that describes the glory of God. And so it says that God is looking to present himself a glorious church. In other words, a church that has been fixed in position and that is filled with the glory. So I'm telling you that what is about and what is taking place right now in the earth and in the body of Christ, that God is filling his church with the glory of God, amen, which is you and I, amen. God is filling us with his presence. He's wanting us to be fixed in position with the presence of God. And so God's glorious church, it's going to be a work of both the word of God and the spirit of God, amen. And so, you know, as we give up to the ministry of the word and as we give ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Ghost, what's going to happen? It's going to ignite the law of restoration in the lives of God's people. How many need some stuff just restored in your life? How many need some things in regards spiritually restored into our lives? Amen. And so what God is going to do in this hour, he's going to bring himself and present to himself a glorious church, a church that is positioned in the glory, a church that is fixed in the glory. And so what he's going to do through the word and through the Holy Ghost, he's going to ignite the law of restoration. I want to go to Acts 3, and I want you to listen to what it says here. Acts 3, verse 19. I want you to get encouraged tonight because, listen, God is about to do something great in your life. How many have been praying for something for a long time? How many have been believing God for something in your life? Well, listen, God is about to move in your life supernaturally. He's going to fix you in position, and he's going to cause the glory to begin to bring and ignite the law of restoration in your life. And so Acts 3, verse 19 says this. It says, repent ye therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. So here it's saying, okay, get yourself in position, okay? Because there's a time in which there's going to be this refreshing that's going to come from the presence of the Lord, amen? And so, and what that refreshing is, it's his presence, amen? It's the glory of God coming and getting and becoming fixed upon his people, you and I, amen? It says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And it says in verse 20, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the whole heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God had spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Now, in the King James, it uses the times of restitution, but in another translation, it talks about the times of restoration. And so what God is wanting to do, he's wanting to restore back his original intent for the body of Christ. Amen. He's wanting to restore back what he had in mind in regards to your life since the beginning of time. Amen. Or he's wanting you to get in a fixed position to where he can once again pour his glory upon the church. Why? Because he's wanting his church in this last day to be without spot and to be without wrinkle and any such thing, to be holy and without blemish. He's wanting to do a new thing in our lives. Amen. And he's wanting to bring restoration. In other words, he's wanting to restore things. In other words, to reestablish something in your life. Amen. I believe all of us at times we've lost things, or we've come short in regards to things in what God had planned for in our lives. But I'm telling you, what God is about to do and is doing right now, he's looking to bring back into existence his plan for your life. Come on, he's looking to restore and to reestablish the former things. Amen. Or the thing that he saw in you since the beginning of time. I believe God saw something in you from the beginning of time. Amen. Or the Bible says, the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, they are good. They are not for evil, to give you a hope and to give you a future. In other words, God had a plan. And how many know God's plan hasn't changed? Amen. And so what's got to take place is there has to be a restoring of his plan. Amen. A restoring of his will, a restoring of his purpose to the church. Amen. And so he's looking to bring forth a glorious church. In other words, a church that is fixed in position under the glory of God, filled with the glory of God. Why? Because God is wanting there to be a restoration of things for you. Amen. A restoration of things for you. And so when something's restored in the word of God, and we've taught in this in times past, but when something's restored in the word of God, it's always with increase. Come on, it's always with multiplication. It's always improved upon. In other words, the finished state is better than it was at the beginning. Amen? And I'm telling you tonight, what God's going to do in your life, the end result is going to be better than what was at the beginning of your life. Amen? And so guys, you got to get ready. Amen? Because God is looking to do something supernatural in his church in this hour. Amen? So God always multiplies when he restores. So God's word, okay, God's word is at work right now. So, you know, God moves or his, you know, we hear the rain of the Spirit, the moves of the Spirit. You know, they come in seasons, okay? And you can't duplicate an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Something only that takes place by the Spirit of God. Amen? In other words, you can't make it up. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says that everything there is a season. And I'm telling you, your season's come. Come on, I'm telling you, your season. You got to get this in your spirit. This is the word to the church right now. Your season has come. Amen? To every time, everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Galatians 6:7, let me read this scripture. Because God moves or the rains of God, they come in seasons, amen? And I'm telling you, you got to get ready. Because we've stepped into a season, come on, of the glorious church. Come on, listen to me. We stepped into the season of the glorious church. Come on, we've stepped into the season of the glorious church. You are that glorious church. You're going to be positioned in his presence. And it's going to cause forth restoration to take place. God's going to restore things back that have been stolen by the powers of darkness. It says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever man soweth, that he will also reap. He that sows to his flesh, of the flesh shall he reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit, of the Spirit, he's going to reap everlasting life. Don't get weary. Come on, turn to your neighbor. So don't get weary. Listen, we've all been there. We've all gotten weary at times. But I want you to encourage your neighbor and say, don't get weary. How many have ever messed up? Come on, don't get weary. It's for in due season, you're going to reap. For in due season, there's going to come forth a harvest. In other words, at an appointed time. And I'm telling you, this is that appointed time. This is that appointed time for the church. God's raising up a glorious church that's going to do what? That's going to move in the power of his Spirit. I mean, we've talked about it and we've prayed about it and we've confessed it and we've declared it for years and years of what God will do through the church. But I'm telling you, it's here now. Amen? It's upon us now. And so we need to understand, don't grow weary, because listen, the enemy will come. And he'll try to cause you to get caught up in the works of the flesh. He'll try to discourage you. He'll try to cause you to sin. He'll try to cause you to be hurt, to be wounded in your heart because this one said that or that one did this or this situation took place. But I'm telling you, God is at work in you. Just position yourself under the presence of God and say, God, here I am. God, you created me. You made me in your image and in your likeness. And God, you have a plan for my life, Lord. And God, I'm just placing myself under your hand. God, move in my life and restore what has been lost in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I believe God's big enough, Chris, to do that. I believe he's powerful enough, Trudy, to do that. I believe that he's loving enough, Paul. That he loves us enough to work in our lives on our behalf. Amen? So guys, this is the season of harvest. This is the season of restoration. Now, I want to go to 2 Kings because I want to glean a couple of things tonight. 2 Kings, the second chapter. And we're going to look at the account of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah and Elisha represent two moves of God. In fact, Elijah and Elisha represents the former move of God and the latter move of God. And so if you put it in light in regards to our lives, we're that latter move of God. We're that Elisha group. 2 Kings, the second chapter, verse 1. If you've ever studied Elisha, Elisha had a double portion. I want you to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm ready for my double portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, how many know we can, there's more to God than guys we've received. Amen. Or God wants to do more in our life than we've ever expected. There's a double portion of his spirit that he wants to pour into our lives. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. You mark up your Bible, you need to mark that part. He says, I will not leave you. Elisha said to Elijah, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Everybody say, I will not leave thee. In other words, Elijah was persistent. He saw something and he saw that he needed to beep someplace. Verse 5, and the sons of the prophet that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered and said, yeah, I know. Hold your peace. Listen, there's a lot of things that will come to try to distract you. Come on, listen to me. That will come to try to distract you from what God is wanting to do in your life. Sometimes it may even seemingly be something that is good. Here are these prophets that come to Elisha. And Elisha said to tell them, hey, look, hold your peace because I got something bigger. I got something greater that I'm attending to. And guys, you got to see that the plan that God has for your life is bigger than anything else that may be going on in your life. Verse 16, he says, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they went on. And 50 men of the sons of prophet went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass they were gone over, and Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from you. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. You know, sometimes we just need to learn to ask the right things. Come on. Come on. Yeah, that's a good thing to ask for. But I mean, no, sometimes we can ask amiss, the Bible says. We got to learn how to ask for the right thing. Amen? Because the Bible says that God will withhold no good thing to them that walk uprightly before him. And then verse 10 says, Elijah said to Elisha, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto you. But if not, it shall not be so. So there was a condition. Come on, listen. There's a condition for the anointing. There's a condition for God's spirit in our life. In other words, we just can't do our own thing and have our own whim. We got to be committed. Verse 11, it came to pass as they went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elijah saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and he smote the water. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the water parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw it, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. You know, that just stands out to me. One guy was willing to get close to Elijah. The rest of them stood afar off. My prayer tonight is that none of us are standing so far away from God that when he does move, we're not a part of it. Is this okay tonight? I don't know. I just feel something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, it says in verse 16, and they said to him, behold, now there will be thy servant 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Let peradventure the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon a mountain or into some valley. And he said, you shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. They sent 50 men and sought 3 days and didn't find him. When they came again to him, he tarried in Jericho. And he said unto him, did I not say unto you not to go? And so they were wanting to go and look for the body of Elijah. They thought he was just caught up in a tornado and thrown to the ground. And let me tell you, in our generation right now, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to think some things are not of God. But I'm telling you, God's going to show us the things that are God and the things that are not of God. See, guys, we got to stay in a position. In a place of readiness for the moves of God when they come upon us. Amen? We got to be in a place in which we are not hesitant, but that we're willing. In other words, that we're in a position to where we will move quickly when God makes himself available to us. Amen? See, who you're following is going to determine whether or not you're in a position for God to move. See, Elisha, He was following Elijah because he knew something was about to take place. And church, I'm telling you, something's about to take place. And guys, we need to be following God. We need to be following hard after him. You know, the psalmist said this. He said, my soul thirsts and longs like a deer that pants after the water brooks. And church, there needs to be a longing in our spirit for God, for his touch in our life. Amen. You know, you read in these verses of scripture, in fact, three times, Elisha said to Elijah, I'm not going to leave you. And then again, he said, I am not going to leave you. And then he said again, I am not going to leave you. Amen. And so, guys, he was making sure that he was ready, that when that moment happened, he was going to be there to be able to experience all that God had for him. Guys, we got to be ready for that moment, when that moment happens, that we can experience all that God has for us. Listen, it may happen in a church service. It may happen when you're at home, you're doing your dishes, and then the Holy Ghost come, and it come upon you, and you will be changed forever by the Spirit of God. But you got to be ready. Amen? You got to tell God, God, I will not leave you. I'm going to be close to you. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to go hard after you, God, because, God, I'm wanting all that you have for me. It says in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 42. Matthew 24, verse 42. It says, watch ye therefore. In other words, keep awake. Give strict attention to. For you know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known that the thief was going to come, he would have watched and would have suffered his house not to be broken up. He says, therefore, be ready. Now, this word ready is powerful. Because this word ready, it's actually a word that's describing make the necessary adjustments in your life. It says, make the necessary adjustments in your life. In other words, make sure that you are prepared. If change has to take place, change. If something has to be removed, remove it. If you got to do something, do it. You understand? In other words, but whatever you do, make sure that you are ready. For when you least expect it, the move is going to come. Listen, you can't follow God from a distance. You may think you can, but you can't follow God from a distance. 2 Kings 2:6. Let me just read this again. It says, and Elijah said to him, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'm not going to leave you. And the two of them went on. But 50 of the sons of the prophets went and stood and viewed afar off. Guys, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be viewing God afar off. I want to be right up in his face. Come on. I want to be right up in God's face. I want him to know that I am there. Amen. I want to be tugging on the end of his garment. I want to capture his attention. And so whatever we need to do to capture his attention, we need to make those necessary adjustments in our life. Why? Because God is about to move in a way that the earth has never experienced before. He's bringing in and repairing a glorious church. A church that becomes fixed in the position of being filled with the glory. But we can't follow him afar off. See, God's calling this generation. Just like he called the early church. He's calling this generation to follow him. There's a lot of things we can follow after. In fact, we can have a lot of followers. But there's only to be one that we're supposed to be following. Amen? And that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Matthew 4, verse 18. See, my prayer for you is that this thing becomes intense. You hear me? My prayer for you is that this thing becomes intense. That God becomes intense. That it becomes a passion. That it becomes a longing inside of you. That there's a thirst that can't be quenched. In other words, to where you get so hungry and so thirsty for God that only God can fill you. Amen? You're not satisfied with anything else in this life. Matthew 4, verse 18 says, "And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Said to them, 'Follow me.'" Church, that's the word today. God's looking for those that will follow him. So, Pastor, I go to church. There's a lot of people that go to church but don't follow him. He's looking for those that will follow him. Amen? And this is how you know that they made up their mind that they were going to follow him. Because he tells them, he says, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." And listen, that mandate's still the same. He's looking to make us fishers of men. But you read in verse 20, it says, "And they straightway did something. They left. They abandoned." In other words, they let go. They disregarded their nets. In other words, the thing that they were all about, come on, listen to me. The thing that consumed their lives, they were willing to abandon. In other words, to let go and to leave, to follow him. And the word follow is, it means that they were going to join themselves and become an attendant to the master's desires. Come on, can we say that? That we are attendants to the master's desire? We want him to attend to us, usually. And he does. He'll care for you. The Bible says you're more important than the birds of the air, than the lilies of the field. God knows exactly what you have need of. But he says this to us. He says you need to seek first his kingdom and all of his righteousness. Then all these other things are going to come, you know, to come to pass in your life. And so we see here that he's called us to do what? In other words, to accompany him. In other words, to follow him. In other words, to attend to him. So you can't follow God and experience his move from afar off. Is this okay, Joan? Am I doing all right, Joan, tonight? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs up. Okay, good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. She's my litmus test, Miss Joan. She says that was okay, Pastor Chuck. I feel better. So, Pastor, how can I be like that? You know, just in my own life, things that God has been able to birth in me, it's because I prayed. Guys, we got to pray. Amen. Galatians 4:19. I was looking at the scripture and it just stood out to me. Now, if you understand the nature of Elijah and Elisha, both of those men prayed when you study their life. But Galatians 4:19 says this: "My little children, of whom I travail in birth, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." So here's Paul talking to the Galatian church. He says, listen, he says, guys, you need to understand, I am travailing in birth for you. And what that is a picture of prayer. It's a picture of passionate prayer. Amen? He says, I am travailing in prayer. And in other words, I can feel this thing. See, church, we got to pray until we feel this thing. And I know we don't walk by our feelings, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But guys, we got to pray until we feel something being birthed to where we've connected. You understand? To where we've connected. That something is coming forth in Jesus' name. He said, I've travailed in birth for you until Christ be formed in you. And I was just looking at that. The word Christ, it's the Greek word Christos. In the Greek word Christos, it means anointed. And it's used in reference of the Messiah. It's used in reference of Jesus. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Anointed, okay? But it's a term that was also used, that was applied to the priests who were anointed with the holy anointing oil. And so when Paul says this, he says, my little children, speaking of the Galatian church, he says, I have been travailing in birth. In other words, man, I just feel this thing. I mean, it's like it's right there. It's become a passion for me. That Christ be formed in you. In other words, that you would experience an anointing in your life is what he was saying. It wasn't that he was saying that you'd be like Jesus, even though we're to be like Jesus. He was talking about something different. He was talking about an anointing coming upon their lives that would forever change them. He was saying that Christ be formed in you. And that word formed, it's in the Greek, it's a Greek word morpho, and it means to become fashioned. In other words, it's almost like as if you were being clothed and being realigned and being covered with something that you didn't have before. And what he was talking about the Spirit of God coming upon them. And so understand that prayer, when you pray, and it begins to become something that you begin to feel. You know, sometimes, you know, I remember when I first got saved, I had a pastor. His name was Brother Forrest Hall. He was an old-time pastor, been pastoring for many years. And he used to talk about travailing in prayer. And I never really understood that at first, travailing in prayer. But then I began to understand what he was talking about. He was talking about you keep praying and you keep praying and you keep praying till you begin feeling it, until it begins to birth something inside of you that begins to be able to create a change in your life. You know, I believe our generation wants things so quickly that, you know, if we pray a prayer and if it's longer than 5 minutes or 2 minutes or 1 minute, you know, well, that's enough. And if it didn't happen and it didn't work, then, you know, we move on. But guys, I'm telling you, we have to learn how to not move on and not leave his presence. See, that's the picture of Elisha. He wasn't willing to leave the presence of Elijah. Why? Because he wanted to experience the move of God in his life. And see, the avenue in which we're able to use to experience that is prevailing, passionate prayer. To where we travail in prayer so that something begins to birth. Amen? In other words, when you have passionate prayer, it's the birthing room for the move of God in your life. Come on, God wants to birth something in you. He wants to move in you. He wants you to experience a holy anointing that not only changes you, but will change everybody you come in contact with. We all want that. But when you read the Bible, it talks about there's going to have to be a place where we may have to abandon some things if we say we're going to follow him. Amen? You know, not everybody's willing to do that. Some would rather follow at a distance. But you know those other prophets? They didn't experience what Elijah experienced. Now, I'm just wondering. I mean, this is just me speculating. I'm just wondering if some of them would have went down there with Elisha and would have been willing to not leave the presence of Elijah like Elisha, if they wouldn't have got what Elisha got. They didn't. Why? Because they followed God from afar off. Guys, we can't follow God from afar off. We got to go after his presence. We got to thirst for him. Amen? So passionate prayer. Man, that's the birthing place for a move of God. You know, you read in the scripture in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and I'm not going to read it all. You can read it, verses 21 through 46. But it talks about what was happening, Elijah with the prophets of Baal, you know the story that he called down fire and lapped up the altar, you know, the altar where it was. And the Bible says that after that, Elijah told Ahab, get up. He said, I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. So there's going to be a move. And you know what Elijah did? He went up to the top of Carmel. You can read in verse 42. Cast himself down upon the earth. Put his face between his knees. In other words, he took the position of giving birth. In other words, he began to passionately prevail in prayer. And what began to take place is that a rainstorm came. An outpouring took place. It's a picture of God pouring out his spirit. But he needs some Elijahs who will earnestly seek his face and pray. You want a revival in your family? You want your children saved? You want your grandsons, granddaughters saved? You want your neighbor saved, your brother, your sister saved. You know what I'm talking about? You're going to have to abandon all and follow Christ and get close to him to where he can move in your life. To where there could be a move of God in your life that affects not only you, but it affects all of them. Amen? And understand passionate prevailing prayer, it's based on the word of God. Amen? In other words, faith can only begin when the will of God's known. We got to know the will of God. We need to understand what God says. Psalms 119, 105 says, the word of the Lord is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And so when we pray, we got to pray in line with the word. Amen? 2 Peter 1:19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, wherein we do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, till the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. He's talking about the word of God. So passionate, prevailing prayer, it has to be based on what God said. Amen? In other words, when you pray, you got to pray regarding what God said. Amen? Well, what does God say about your family? What does God say about your health? What does God say about your finances? What does God say about our nation? What does God say? Amen? And then we need to take that position. To where we get in a position to where we begin to passionately pray before God. And we say, God, I'm going to follow you. Amen. I'm going to abandon some things so that I could be in that right spot so, God, you can move. Amen. And it requires us being submissive to the Lord. You know, a lot of times prayer goes unanswered because of an unsubmissive will to God. Matthew 6:9 says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done as it's in heaven. You know, by nature, we're selfish. How many know by nature we're selfish? True submission to God can usually be measured by your submission to others. I don't know, church, God's wanting to do something in your life. He's wanting a glorious church. I want us to stand right now.